How can we get people to do what we want them to do? This is the question that Origanese addresses in his book, Mixed Signals, How Incentives Really Work. Ori is a professor of economics at the University of California, San Diego. And in his book, he argues that we need to understand the motivations of the people we're trying to influence and that we need to design strategies that are aligned with those motivations. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
Hi, I'm Origanese and I wrote the book, Mixed Signals, How Incentives Really Work. I'm a behavioral economist at UC San Diego Rady School of Management studying incentives. I'm going to share with you five big ideas from my book. The book is about how incentives not only change our payoffs, but also send a message regarding what we really care about. And I'll try to convince you that understanding these messages is the key to making incentives work. The first big idea is about how a visit to Disney World got me into trouble and what I've learned from it about sending mixed signals. So I loved it when my son Ron reached the age when he started effectively communicating with us. Like other kids, he also started to experiment with lying. And we told him that he shouldn't lie. Being honest is what separates the good guys from the bad guys. This moral lesson, like I said, soon got me into trouble. All was good until I took him to Disney World on a nice day in July, waited in line to purchase the tickets, and I saw the sign that said, under 3-year-old free, 3 and older, $117. When it was our turn to pay, the smiling cashier asked me how old Ron was, and I replied, well, he's almost 3. Technically, I wasn't lying. He was almost 3, but from the wrong side. His third birthday was a couple of months earlier. I paid for myself while the cashier kept smiling and we went in to have fun. What happened half an hour later was an important lesson. Ron said, Daddy, I'm confused. You told me that only bad guys lie and you just did. I tried the do as I say, not as I do approach, but I don't think that it worked. Ron received basically two contradicting signals from me. What I said versus what I did in the face of a $117 incentive. In a nutshell, the book is about how to avoid such mixed signals. You say one thing, but when the incentive presents itself, you do something else. The key is to understand that incentives send signals. Too often, there's a conflict between what you say and what your incentives actually say or signal. You can tell everyone that you care about honesty. Talk is cheap. For the claim to be credible, you need to back it up with some costly actions, such as paying the full entrance fee. If you'll align what you say with what the incentives you offer say, the signal will be credible and easy to understand. When you understand these signals, you learn how to make incentives more effective. For example, what could Disney do to reduce the number of people lying about their age? Disney could ask that the child will be present when you buy the ticket. This would force you to face a mixed signal dilemma like I did. Am I going to lie in front of my kid or pay $117? But Disney can take it a step further and ask the child to tell their own age. For example, by answering the question, did you already have your third birthday? You can clearly coach your child to lie about their age to the cashier, but boy, that is one strong, costly signal that lying is acceptable. The second big idea is pay to quit strategy. What you can gain from encouraging your employees to quit their jobs. In my day job, I teach negotiation. I tell my students that they shouldn't lie, with one exception, when interviewing for a job. In such negotiation, you should act excited about the prospective company, even if you're not. Your value to the company is higher when you are excited to work for them. I think that's simple. How can the employer tell who's faking? You need to create situations in which, instead of asking people questions that will probably yield answers meant to please you, they'll be incentivized to reveal their true preferences. One such way is using the pay-to-quit strategy. Offer your employees the financial incentives to leave their job voluntarily. You can tell them something like, we'd like you to stay with us, but if you want to leave, we'll give you a $10,000 gift and depart as friends. The goal of this strategy is to learn which of your employees are fully committed and excited about their work and encourage the others to quit. Sounds crazy? Well, I think it's a clever way of putting employees' excitement to the test by forcing them to put their money where their mouth is. Pay to quit makes faking excitement about the job expensive. It might be enough to push some unhappy employees out of the door in a friendly way such that both the company and the employees are ending in good terms. Reducing the bad feeling and the risk of sabotage is always great. And it also benefits the company in two other ways. First, because the employees who turn down the temptation credibly signal that they are committed to the company. Second, the psychology of the situation suggests that some costs can affect subsequent behavior. By giving up the bonus, the employees signal to themselves that it was worth it to give up the bonus and stay. And how can they do it? By working harder and being committed to a long-term goal, which will benefit you, of course. The third big idea is about why incentives for recycling could backfire. In the book, I distinguish between two types of signals: social signaling, which is how incentives affect what other people think of us, and self-signaling, which is what we infer about ourselves from our behavior. These two signals interact in quite interesting and surprising ways. Consider the following scenario. On a freezing morning, you see your neighbor, Sarah, carrying a large bag full of cans to the recycling center. You observe Sarah's behavior and create a narrative. Wow, Sarah is an awesome. She cares about the environment and is willing to sacrifice time and expend effort to help protect it. Sarah socially signals to others that she is an environmentally conscious person. In all likelihood, her trip to the recycling center also serves as a positive self-signal. She could have placed the cans in the trash, but instead she took the time and effort to recycle them in the bitter cold. She is probably quite happy with herself. Now consider the same scenario, only this time there's an incentive program aimed at encouraging people to recycle soda can. For each soda can Sarah recycles, she will receive a 5-cent incentive. Does your original narrative that Sarah is awesome still work? On day one of my economic training, I learned that more money is better. Hence, paying Sarah should get you to where you want. What could go wrong? Well, along with creating a financial gain, an economic effect, the incentives also change the signals and the story that Sarah can tell herself. Sarah is doing exactly the same thing as she did before, only now she receives a couple of dollars in return. But instead of seeing her as a devoted environmentalist, a nice person, you now see her as your cheap neighbor. In other words, the incentive changed the social signal that recycling sends. You look at Sarah differently. And even more, the presence of incentives may also change how Sarah feels about herself. Rather than feeling good each time she makes the trip to the recycling center, she may now wonder if it's worth going through all the trouble for a couple of bucks. The incentives also change the self-signals that recycling sends. And this insight takes us to the fourth big idea, which is about how to use the insights from recycling to incentivize blood donation. Again, consider someone, let's call her Jane, who donates blood. It makes her feel good about herself, and she may also enjoy some social signaling when she mentions a donation while having dinner with friends. Now, taking a step back, the economics of blood donations is very interesting because billions of dollars exchange hands in this market every year, but the donors are not paid. The demand is greater than the supply, and the economic solution is simple: pay donors, and the supply will increase. If so, why isn't Jane paid every time she donates blood? Say that Jane was offered $50 each time she donates blood. Jane should be all the happier to visit, right? Same insight as we had before. Well, monetary compensation may alter the signal sent by donating blood. Jane enjoys the positive signal in the absence of any financial incentives. Offering her $50, though, changes everything. Over dinner with friends, she can no longer mention her nice behavior without her friends' judgmental assumptions, because they'll think she must be underpaid or, worse yet, cheap to do something like that for $50. As in with the recycling example, the incentive might even make Jane doubt her own motives for donating. Is she doing it because she's a nice person or because of the money she gets? An interesting alternative incentive is giving Jane a coffee mug, say, with the blood bank logo on it. Jane doesn't need another coffee mug. However, with this one, she can casually bring it out in a meeting and more easily signal to people that she is a blood donor. The coffee mug may also enhance her own self-signal. After all, it is nice to be reminded every time she picks up her coffee in the morning just how good of a person she is. The last big idea is about pay what you want. Pay what you want is a strategy for pricing that in which people choose how much to pay for the product or service that they get. And what I want to talk about is how pay what you want pricing sends a unique signal that can actually benefit everyone. Together with Ayelet Nizzi, Gerald Reiner, and Leif Nelson, we studied a pay what you want pricing using a field experiment in a Pakistani buffet restaurant. When customers are done eating in this restaurant, they choose how much to pay for the meal. They can even pay nothing at all. Before you begin to seriously question the business model of pay what you want, let me assure you this pricing model works, at least to some degree in some places. Our field experiment had two main variations. In the first, I'll call it observable, customers paid to the waiter directly. In the second variation, I'll call it unobserved, customers put their payments into a sealed envelope and dropped it into a box near the entrance such that no one knew how much they paid. Now, in the first case, there is a simple explanation of why people paid in the observable one, right? It's you don't want to look cheap in front of the waiter. They see how much you pay and you don't want to look cheap. That's basically social signaling. But why would they pay in the unobserved case when they just put the envelope in a box and no one can know how much they pay? Well, what if they also care about their self-image? Eating a nice lunch and living without paying might make them feel bad. Engaging in self-signaling, they may still pay even though their payment go unobserved, so such that they will feel better about themselves. That's exactly what we found. We found that customers in the unobserved case paid more than those in the observed case. That is, customers paid more when no one saw how much they actually paid. This result demonstrates that in the unobserved case, the self-signaling became stronger because it was clear that putting money in the envelope is done only because I'm a nice guy, not because I care about what other people think about me. As such, the boost to my self-image from giving money in the anonymous case, in the unobserved case, is much stronger. I hope that you enjoyed the five big ideas that I discussed here. And if you want to learn more about incentives and the signal they send and how to actually make successful incentives, then I'll be happy if you'll buy the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Ori. That was Ori Ghanizi with five big ideas from Mixed Signals, How Incentives Really Work. You might also like our book bite for The Catalyst, How to Change Anyone's Mind by Jonah Berger. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.